Jupiter Hotel, the Douglas Fir, Doug Fir, whatever the fuck the place is called, in Portland, Oregon, one of the greatest cities on the planet Earth. It is my absolute pleasure to say that Harmontown is now in session. Let's welcome to the stage the mayor of Harmontown, Dan Harmon!
Thank you. Thank you. I immediately started crying. I walked out of the stage and started crying. Why? I think it's because I'm drunk. I'm assuming. It's not because tonight's important. Why are there, no one's are people in the world with leukemia? Why am I crying? I'm crying because your donuts are great. You're a great city. How many of you are here that live in Portland? See, a lot of times, Jeff, when we go to other cities and we go like well, who here is from Poughkeepsie? And then like there's like eight people go like, I'm here. And then the rest of the people are like, I drove here from L.A. because they hate Poughkeepsie. Portland. Like,
people, that's a long drive.
People
too.
Love being in Portland. They fucking love it.
It is a great town. Like I got asked by what's the guy's name? Andy, who's running this thing? He said, do you want to come do this festival? And I said, yes, can I be there for 3 days instead of one? I'd rather be in Portland than not be in Portland.
I scheduled extra days too. And I for Aaron's sake, I said, well, I'll stay till Sunday and I'm not going to do any other shows other than Harmontown. Aaron will appreciate that. And then I went, it was like gift of the, like UCB workshop magi that I said, I'm not doing any shows except theirs. And she's like, I'm doing 9 shows a day. If you'd like to see Aaron McGathy this weekend in Portland, swing a cat. Yeah. And
try not to.
She is in every fucking show this side of Seattle. I don't know. No, you don't have to have a response to that. All right, let's get on track. I don't want to have a sloppy show tonight. You've paid a lot of money. I am not drunk. I didn't do anything wrong.
You're drunk as a fucking fiddler right now. So drunk.
He's lying.
I met you for breakfast. You were drunk when you showed up for breakfast.
I was hungover. We were all hungover. We all know what happened yesterday. We all got drunk. So then when you're hungover, you drink through it. You don't go like, oh, I'm hungover. I'm not going to drink ever again. That's rookie bullshit. That will take you straight to AA. That's for quitters. It's an old stand-up joke. AA is for quitters. I'm wearing... we went to Mary's Strip Club today.
I made Dan and Aaron. I had breakfast at Mother's, which is too crowded now. And then I went to Huber's to have a Spanish coffee. But Huber's fucking good. But I didn't have a Spanish coffee. I had a Manhattan and then 3 more, with a couple of people named Tina and Dirk. And I hope they're listening at some point in the future because they were hilarious. And then you guys rolled in, and then I made Dan and Aaron go to Mary's Club. Which is, I think, a Portland institution. Not that I'm a strip club enthusiast necessarily, but you kind of have to go there because it's so good.
I think you have to be a strip club enthusiast to go to any strip club. It's you have to be into Legos to buy a Lego box, right? You don't just go like, oh, that looks interesting. Blocks that connects.
Yeah, but
you can't like walk in off the street into a strip club and be like, oh, cool. Like you have to be like a fucking aficionado.
No, because you don't. You go there because the girls that work there, it's so small, and there's like weird theater seating. There's like 2 rows of theater seats, and you can buy a drink and pee at the same time. Like, it's so small.
That's not... He's selling that like it's like a big positive thing.
Geographically,
if you can drink and pee in the same place, that's
But the girls all have ill-advised tattoos, and they get up there, and there's a jukebox on stage. And when they go on stage, they put a couple dollars in, and they play fucking Tom Waits and shit. Like, Well, I see you tonight on a downtown train. And they're taking their clothes off, and then their butt cheeks are doing weird yoga shit. It's fucking...
Yeah, and they flex their... They do, like, the Tiny Lister Jr. thing with their boobs, where you flex the pecs.
You don't go there because
like the Mr.
Sexy.
Universe thing with the boobs, but they have boobs, so they're like Jim Henson workshop kind of characters. Yep. I'll tell you what it isn't. It's
Abierto.
Not sexy. And here's the conversation that happened on the sidewalk after we went in there for a drink. This is the classic conversation that a lot of people have. Aaron turned to me and Jeff and said, "So do you guys have boners?" And I immediately went, which is the truth. I'm like, "No, absolutely not. My penis is retracted into my abdomen because I was in a place of grief." And then Aaron goes, "Oh, what? You didn't think those girls were attractive?" I don't know. It's my fucking minefield. I don't get it, and I don't know what my role is. I don't know how to be a feminist. I don't know how to be a masculinist in a strip club. I don't know what you do. When I walk into a strip club, what I typically find is that it's dead silent. And that there's a woman on stage, and that she's doing this stuff, and she seems like a good person. The odd thing about this place is that the quarters are so close, and it was so quiet that you were really intimately acquainted with the performers. And what I mean by that is that a woman would finish doing booby wiggles, and then she would go over to a 3-ring binder, and while leafing through it, would say to the guy to her left, "Hey, Glenn, what do you like? Do you?" And he would go like, "I don't know. The traffic was so hard on the 110 today." And she'd be like, "Yeah, well, you should always take Fountain." This is L.A. traffic speak, but I'm just saying, like, she was like talking. So I was like, "Did you see Hannibal last night?" It was like good. And I think that's, from a human perspective, that's what's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
But from a regular perspective, it's weird because now I don't understand. I don't understand my role. If you said, Jeff, you can just go in there and hang out. I said, if I go up to the rail in a strip club, and I start just talking loudly about how I think Parks and Rec is cheating because they can cut to people explaining jokes. Like, if I'm just like explaining, like, the thing is, mockumentary is like, it was overblown. Ricky Gervais did it for 6 episodes, but it was part of the story. And then you adopted it into America. It was a capitalism, a storyteller for money. There's a guy behind me is going to have a right to go, "Hey, fuck off. What are you doing in a strip club?" And I'm going to go, "I don't know. I don't know why I'm in a strip club. It's not to get a boner. It's not for her. It's not for me. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know whose side I'm on. I don't. She's empowered. I'm empowered. We're all empowered. I don't know what the fuck's going on in here. I'll just take off my clothes or just roll around and like throw money in the air and eat tacos. I don't know what the fuck to do.
Why is there an orange garnish in your drink right now? You have a sexy cocktail right now.
This is a Negroni.
A Negroni?
This is my cheat day. I'm a cheat day.
Wait, so vodka is regular day.
Yeah.
But
that's zero carbs,
you can motherfucker. You can have...
Wow. Find a carb in a glass of vodka. I defy you. A Negroni, that's like the donut of drinks.
So you can have bourbon and Campari. So we left Mary's Club, and I went to Powell's Books.
By the
for
way,
me,
well,
hey,
well,
shut up. My first two stops. Well, first stop when I come to Portland, Powell's Books, because it's the Disneyland of people that read. Dan, books are things with pages with words on them that people read.
I know, it's like the internet, but smaller.
Yeah,
with lower speeds.
So I said. We got drunk at Huber's. I met some local lunatics, and I said, I really have to go to Huber's. To Powell's. I popped in there, got a couple books, and you went and found a bar. And I got a text from you saying, "I'm in a nearby bar called the such and such."
I didn't say it's the coolest place in the world.
I'm a glass
of Chimay. But true to Portland style, I felt like you talk about Southern hospitality. Here's Portland hospitality. The only person working in the place was one bartender, and she gave me. I said, "I love a Chimay." I said, "I'm feeling fancy. I'm a lumberjack. I'd like to maybe I'll build a new bar next door out of wood." Everything's wood here. They're all into wood. I bet there hasn't been a tree here in years. What there is good people and good prices.
So drunk.
So drunk. So oh, yeah. Drunk. All right. Everybody gets a medal for noticing I'm drunk. What are you going to do with it? Who are you going to complain to?
So I'm in the bookstore. I was drunk enough at the bookstore to walk up to the person. At Powell's, you can walk up to the desk and say, hello, I would like you to check if these books exist. And they go, I'd be happy to help you. And I couldn't utter a word.
You're allowed to do that in Portland. You can get that wasted.
And the guy looked at me and he said, hey, you're in a town where you can come fucked up to a bookstore.
Hey, man. Seems like you're pretty drunk and high. Yeah. Section 642.
Oh, by the way.
And you just see these books. By the way. Squiggle writing.
I'm making a mental note out loud right now to get all of the drugs that people gave me last night out of my bag before I fly away.
You gotta eat all of them.
If anybody wants a bunch of edibles and weed, I have to get rid of them tonight.
Yeah, I'm a piñata. Come up to me tonight. Because all of you give me Rice Krispie treats. I can't eat them all. I can't bring them on the plane. So just hit me and one will pop out.
Also, the beauty of this gig is we're staying upstairs. Like we live here at the Jupiter Hotel and the Doug Fir. Just ask me if you want all of the shit that people gave me last night.
Dude, I was fucking dancing last night. Aaron was in the other room. I fucking danced till 4 a.m. because it's Portland. It just feels like, you know, it's just Portland. And I was like dancing till 4 a.m, like by myself. I wasn't grinding on anybody.
He was actually, I
wasn't like doing it to impress anybody. I was just like fucking dancing. I had a straw in my mouth. I'm like, I had a solo cup in my hand. I'm like fucking 41. Like meep 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 meep. It's just like sometimes give my feet a rest. Don't move them anymore. Like doing vertical shit. Just moving the hips. Elevator goes up, down. Fucking rocking it. Fucking people coming up, like shaking their shit in my face. I'm like, yeah, I'll take that. I won't take that. I don't give a fuck. Just dancing. Controlled the floor. And there was a guy that kept coming up to me. I don't know if he had this authority, but he kept going like, are you ready to freestyle? Are you ready to freestyle? Every half hour, this guy would come up and he'd start dancing with me. And he'd go like, so you wanted freestyle yet? And I felt like he was friends with the DJ. And I felt like there was a point where I could have easily gone up and I could have freestyled, rapped at the thing. But I turned my back on it. And I felt,
But before we get to your freestyle, let's go back to me leaving Powell's Books.
Right. Okay. We got a lot of.
So I'm happily. I have two new books. I don't need them. I've got too many books I haven't read anyway. I'm drunk. I'm leaving Powell's Books. I have a text from Dan saying I'm at a bar nearby. So I fucking roll out of there and I use the old iPhone to find out where you are, and I come into a place called.
It was called Riley Life O'Reilly.
Life O'Reilly. Life of Riley's. Yeah.
You don't have to grumble. It's fine. You know.
Yeah.
All right. You're Portland. We get it. It was empty. That's the thing. Like, the good places were full.
Okay. So take it from there. Because I walk in there. You're there. You have a Chimay in your hand.
There were two dudes, as a preamble, there were two dudes that I felt like they were a gay couple, just to put an image in your head of their mannerisms. Like, they were two really fit dudes who were very happy. And I'm like, but also they had a weird fratty edge to them. It was a weird combination. And the one guy,
I would not have if I saw them from a distance, I would not have said gay couple. I would have thought fratty guys.
Maybe I'm homophobic, or maybe I'm like homo Doolittle. Like maybe. I don't care. I would love for everyone to be gay.
I'm gonna put my pitch in right now for this episode to be called Homo Doolittle.
Maybe I projected onto them. I bet they're gay because I was like, I wanted them to be happy because I felt like they were having a good time together, and there was a lot of sexual frustration, and there was a lot of energy and drama coming from them. And I was like, I hope those two go home tonight and fuck. I felt like they were gay, and you know what? I wanted to give them each two votes in the upcoming election.
Too late.
In case you're wondering if I'm part of the problem, no. I would like to live in a society where every gay man got three fucking votes.
What happened before I walked in?
Because I want to live in gay world.
Dan, you're fine. Dan, we
know I'm sorry. Am I protesting too much? I'm just saying I'm cool with the gays. I'm fine. Like everything would be better if they were in charge.
You're straight.
Okay.
What you're saying is you're straight.
But what I don't want is for them to beat me up. And so what happened at this bar is these were like bad. These were the very, very, very rare, incredibly rare bad gay men. I felt. I feel like genetically they're better than everyone.
Whoa!
But these two, I would like to weed them out.
All right.
Or make them straight. I don't know what would be a punishment for them.
Just tell, tell the story.
They were very okay. Oh, you're right. You're right. No more editorializing.
Just stop.
You make your own decision. I don't know. They might have been straight. That explains a lot. Like because if they were straight, then they were fucking like in turmoil inside.
I don't think they were, but I will withhold judgment.
The incredibly sweet bartender, I should say she's female to because it seems important. We're setting a stage here. Very, very sweet female bartender who, as a footnote, I ordered a drink from her and she said, do you want something from the menu? Would you like something to eat? And I said, do you have a dessert menu? Like something sweet. She says, we don't have dessert. I'm like, okay. 5 seconds later, she comes up and she puts a handful of peppermint candies on the bar in front of her. Portland. Hashtag Portland. We're here to fucking, like we're thinking about you. We want you. Like this doesn't happen anywhere, ever. That's the opposite of Logan's Run. Somebody's like, I thought when you said, like, her job was done. They don't have a dessert menu. She fucking took that shit to a bowl of candy, but I don't get it. I don't even get it. I love it. I love your city. And I'm sorry, I'm sitting there going like, oh, Jesus Christ, what a good people. I'm trying to make you understand, this woman's a hero. Because then she went over to the other guys, and they were kind of dramatic and very fit. Maybe that's part of what I'm holding against them. They looked crunchy and abby and six-packy and...
Crunchy?
Gunny, bicep-y. Like, they looked good. I wanted to sleep with them, but... So I think they were gay. She went to them and they were being loud the whole time. It was fine. It was like they were charismatic individuals in the corner. They're having a good time. Probably talking about spot checking each other and bench press. She said to one of them, "Do you guys want anything else?" And the loud, like kind of aggressive one, who we will call, let's give him a name, Stripe, the bad gremlin. He said to her, "Can I get you guys anything else?" And he went, "I'm just having the greatest time looking at you. Is that rude?" Yeah, it is. That's weird. I don't know. Rude. So that was the mood he was in. He was like, he was feeling his oats. Was that a phrase?
Nope. I mean, it is now.
So Jeff walks in with Moby Dick or whatever the fuck you bought from your Prove We Can Still Exist bookstore. Like it's a movement. Flash mob hashtag like booksshouldstillexist.com. We get it. It's fun. With your thumb and your... Oh, it cut me. Oh... Great. It's information at a price. Who would have thought of it?
Wait, you're anti-book?
No, I don't know why I'm doing that.
It's a weird platform.
It's a weird. You don't want to be. Even if most of the world feels that way, you don't. No one will feel okay getting on your side of that.
Yeah.
I'm anti-book. Jeff walks in with his fucking books. But what was by Mark Twain? Look it up. Fucking Google him. You bought a Mark Twain book.
Yes, because when people I meet people and we talk about books and they go, oh, you should read this. And I write it down on my phone. Yeah, a phone. My iPhone. I have a little note thing. And I write down book titles. And when I go to Powell's or if I'm in Seattle, I go to Elliott Bay Or is it Ellie Bay? Yeah. Like the good bookstores in the world that actually carry the shit that you want to find. That's not like a Barnes & Noble piece of garbage. When you go to Portland, you can actually find the books that you wish you had. And the end. I'm smart. Read a book, motherfucker.
I know.
Read a book. You're a writer. You're a writer.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Read a fucking book.
Yeah, reading is for consumers. I'm a writer.
Consumers of what?
That's like a spider being into spider webs. Like a spider's like, no, I love spider webs. Motherfucker, you spun this shit.
If a spider could read, a spider would read a book
spiders
about spider
can't
webs.
Read, motherfucker, I'm going to fight you. I'm going to fight you in Portland. Spiders can't read. What happened to this place? We've wasted a lot of time on this tonight. What happened to this place, inexplicably?
I roll in with books.
Two
provocative material.
So Jeff's at the end of the bar, and by bar in quotes, because it's beechwood. It's bright. It's
fucking midday.
Daylit. Yeah. It's a nice place. It's a
touristy downtown dumpy bar.
Like, and then one of these two incredibly sexy, probably gay guys. goes over like he senses that there's other people there, and he goes up to Aaron and he goes like, what was his entree? It was like
I hope he's not with you.
Hey, hello.
You're so beautiful.
Hello. Oh, sorry. And then he said, yes, this is my side of the story. We'll bring Aaron out in a second. I want to hear her side, but he's from my objective glowering into my chemise.
I had just sat down. I hadn't
he said, "Hello, sweetheart." He did an extravagant kind of like, "Hello, I'm that guy from the other part of the bar. I want your attention now too," which is fine.
I love your style. You're so beautiful.
Yeah, oh, you look great. And then he, in the midst of that introduction, he said, "I hope you're not with him," and did this kind of sassy like to Jeff, like,
to
"I
me.
Hope you're not, I hope you're not with him," and Jeff said, like, "Go fuck yourself. Fuck off." And he
goes, "What?"
And then he was like, "I wasn't talking to you."
I said,
"You weren't talking. You just said I was talking."
He goes, like, "I hope you're not with him." I go, "Oh, you, yeah, you fuck off." And because he was just like, he came over and like was like being like too much. And I said, "Yes, you go away." And he goes, I hope you're not with him. And I said, your person. He goes, "I'm a stylist. I just think your hair is so cool, like to Aaron's." Like, I go, your personality needs touching up. And he goes, "Ooh!"
And then his friend, his even sexier friend,
which is
who I assume is gay because he's fucking hot. started saying things I could hear them before other people go there.
Before that happened, he goes, "What did you just say?" I go, "Hey," he goes, "I wasn't talking to you." I said, "Well, you were." I said, "Your voice carries." He goes, "Oh, my voice carries? Oh!"
He did a thing where he was my voice carries! But it fell flat. It was like a flat C flat, like, "My voice carries!"
I said something along the lines of, "Hey, fuck off, the adults are having a conversation over here." And then he enlisted the more muscular guy in the duo. And he goes, "Stop me before I do something stupid." And I go, "Oh!"
That's what you heard. I heard. And then he said later on in this altercation, there's like this big 5-minute like blossom of human interaction. At one point, I heard this guy say, "Yeah, at a certain point, I got to start slicing faces."
Well, that
slicing faces?
Well, that was after I left. I had left at that point. The guy goes, the guy that came at us with the "I'm a stylist and I'm Mr. Wonderful and I like oh wait, I hope you're not with him." I go, "Eh, you go away." I said, "Your personality could use some touching up."
And then the other guy's like,
"Oh, now Mr. Wonderful over here wants to be involved." He says, "Stop me before I do something stupid.
I'm going to slice some faces."
So
Is it like a pirate? Is it like Johnny Depp?
I grab my Mark Twain and whatever. What was the other book I bought? I forget. I pick my two books up and I fucking bone out because I know where this is going. Because where it's going is nowhere. And then I read a fucking tweet from you where the guy was threatening to slice faces.
That was during the whole thing, though. I could hear him. And so I was engaging with him. He would say stuff, and
slice
I would go,
face.
"We go, really, young man, really? You're gonna beat people up?" And he and I actually had an arc. At the end of it, I had because he
This is the guy that you refer to as so hot he must be gay.
Yeah.
All right.
This guy's actually the hero of the story,
Because you want to fuck him.
No, because he... Because he
Please
was
tell me you
so...
Fuck this guy. You fucked this guy, right?
He felt an obligation to beat everyone up who had a problem with his friend who was causing trouble. So he was, when I actually engaged with him, I was like, he said, I'm sorry. I said, look, I'm sorry too. It's weird to threaten to slice people's faces. And he said, look, I'm with my friend. I feel like I have to stick up for my friend. And I'm like, there you go. That's humanity. That's it in the bottle. Everyone's got to stick up for their friend. The fucking, like, that's why bar fights happen. It's like dumb. It's like two guys, like, I don't know. We spent too much time on this. Those guys are listening to this and going like, ooh, we did it. Because here's another fucking weird thing. Aaron said, I didn't hear this. Aaron said that during the altercation, one of them pointed at you and said, I'm glad your show got canceled.
Pointed at me?
You thought that you were me, I assume? I don't know.
Or that I was Jeff Winger? Or what the fuck?
I don't know. Or they thought, whose line is not coming back?
Dan,
I don't know.
Dan, let's not bury the lead. Your show got canceled today.
Oh, yes, it did.
By gay people.
You guys aren't...
Gay people
We should address that in due time. I'm sorry, we spent too much time talking about some weird Beechwood bar.
I was on a plane yesterday and I landed and the driver named Dan. Dan, are you here? You are?
Dan Kogan?
Is he here?
are you like Hodor from Game of Thrones?
Hodor.
Dan!
Hodor.
It's not his name. Hodor. It's just a sound he makes.
Anyway.
Dan!
Dan, love. I flew in before you did, and our driver, Dan Kogan, said, Dan, I'm picking him up in an hour or two. Does he know that his show got canceled? I go, I didn't know that. I said, when did that news drop? And he goes, recently. Like, you, there was a chance that you were on the plane when that news dropped. But
yeah, they called me. Yeah, I was on my way to LAX, and somebody from Sony called me, and they told me. I listen. Yeah, the fans of that show have more reason to be upset than I do. I can go try to create another show, and also I got paid for every minute I cared about that show. And a lot of you, I don't know what you're plotting, but capitalism.
Trickle down.
The people that are most devastated are people that put unpaid labor into the show. It's I'm hashtagging this. I'm getting a tattoo of this. I love this show. They didn't get compensated for it.
Did they
had a relationship with the show.
Were there community tattoos?
Oh, sure. There was community
Does
tattoos.
Does anybody here have a community related tattoo?
You don't have to be ashamed. I always have mixed feelings about the tattoo thing. Like, I say, somebody will show me like a Rick and Morty tattoo, and I'll go, I'm not sure. It's like the highest compliment, but at the same time, like, I don't know what to.
It's a terrible idea.
Well, I don't. It depends on what you feel. I don't know what. It's none of your business how somebody wants to. I don't know. It's weird. Like it's a permanent thing, and then you. Dumb. This is not entertainment. This is me.
Dan, your feelings aside, like, and also you can't totally relate to the hardcore fan who loves Community, but now that's the end of a show that means a lot to people. Also, clearly means a lot to you. The fact that that's now done, how does that emotionally affect you?
It'll take weeks to sink in. But there was somebody who handed out. There was literature being handed out in the line.
Kyle, is it Kyle, right? Yeah, no. I gave it to you.
Every time we come to Portland, there's a high concept gimmick. graphic design wise, it's a more intelligent. Everyone here, no one lifts anything in Portland. Everyone just goes to work at a draft table, and they eat coffee, and then they go home in a weirdly designed like egg shaped race car bed that folds up into God's consciousness for 8 hours. When it folds down, and they go back out and be open minded for a living. I don't know what you people do. You're delightful.
You should
I love
move here. You should move here.
I'm gonna move here and I'm gonna move here and have a bunch of babies. Lumberjack babies. All my kids are gonna look like the lead singer of Spin Doctors.
Boo!
Don't you dare boo the fucking Spin Doctors,
no.
You fucking Portland asshole.
I think he booed your baby.
He hasn't even. He's gonna be your last defense against Skynet. He's gonna have a microphone in one hand and an axe in the other. And don't you dare boo Conor Harmon. Portland native Conor Harmon.
I remember when I was 10 years old, as I've said before on the show, I was on. As a kid, I was in the King and I, this play with Yul Brynner, and we toured the country and we did Broadway, and then he died. But when I was 10, I don't know why that's funny, but I love that you.
If Jeff asked you to be part of his next Broadway production, as tempting as it is, yeah. Just say no.
You got to die. But when I was 10, we did the. Is it the Fitzer, the Spitzer, the Fitzer, the. Schnitzer? Schnitzer. The Fister.
Hey, Scoot.
The Schnitzer.
Scoot, are you... where's Scoot? Oh, there you go. Okay, thank you.
So anyway, as a kid, I
thank you, Scoot.
We played at the Schnitzer or the Fister or the Fister or whatever the fuck. And I was on tour with Ryan Stiles and Greg Proops and Chip Esten. We tour with Who's Live, like a Who's Line kind of thing. And I walked in there and I think I played in this theater when I was 10. And this is 20 years or, you know, 25 years later, and the doorman there, I said, I was here as a kid. And he goes, yeah. He goes, your name's Jeff. And it was the fucking doorman when I was a kid.
He goes,
do you want me to walk you to your old dressing room? And he just started fucking me.
Better than you've ever been fucked.
Not true.
New York
not
style.
True. Not true.
East Coast style.
No, but he remembered the show, and there he fucking was, and he took me to my dressing room, which now I'm twice as tall as I was, and so the dressing room is twice as small as I remember, and we fucking did that show there, and what's the point of my story? I remember now. So we would do matinees, and I had kind of a page boy haircut because I played like a little British kid, and I had makeup on because it was a theater show, and I was 10, and I went into a McDonald's with my brother, who did not have makeup on, but we went in there to a McDonald's here in Portland. What's the that park near where the Fister or the Footser or the Spitzer is? Yeah, there was a McDonald's there, and I fucking roll in there at 10 years old, and the guy goes, "What can I get you, ladies?"
But he didn't have makeup on.
And I was like, "We're boys," and he goes, "Well, what can I get you?" I was like, "You motherfucker." I was like, "Just because I'm wearing makeup at 10 a.m. doesn't mean I'm gay or a girl." I've never forgiven Portland for that.
I think it's why you and that gay guy got in a fight tonight.
I didn't get in a fight. I left. You got in a fight.
I didn't get in a fucking fight. I was hunched over Chimay. All right.
Weren't you going to freestyle tonight?
Yeah. That's how I was. Let's give these people their money's worth. In L.A., you pay $10. Like, $10 is whatever. It gets you a pair of socks. These people paid probably more. There's other people who paid VIP. I met some of them in the bar. They got VIP bracelets. They paid more money to make sure that they could get in, not have to wait in line. Doesn't matter. Capitalism can go fuck itself, but it serves me tonight. I not that I'm taking a cut. I don't give a fuck about your money. But what I do want to make sure of is that you're entertained. Is James Adomi in here? There was a gasp.
Is he here?
Is he here? I heard he was...
James, are you here?
No, he's not here.
Oh, fuck.
All right, that's fine. It doesn't matter.
No, because that was going to be a fucking goodie.
I wanted to do... James Adomian is here at the festival. He does the best Vincent Price impression I've ever heard in my life. I told him last night, come to the show, we'll do a rap, and then you do the Vincent Price bridge for the rap. Spider's Delight.
Spider's Delight.
Ookie, ookie sandwiches.
Why are spiders so delightful? Like,
it's a spider's delight. Apostrophe yeah. S. Spider's delight yeah. is I'm horror. Like, what, it's like, what is the Addams Family like? They like bad soup. Ugh, spider's delight is it's not a good, delicious cupcake.
Wrong beat.
Anybody? James Adomian? Anyone got a 20 on James Adomian? Nope. Fuck that guy. That's Bridgetown for you. It's Bridgetown, Dan. Forget it. Forget about it. Kumail's off doing a different show.
Kumail. He was so funny last night.
We met a lot of cool friends. Paul Provenza. I had never met. Oh, shit. Yeah. Yo. Yo. I'll do my own Vincent Price. Yeah. Yo. 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 Rap. 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 Yo. Rap.
Wait. Dan told me before the show that he was going to rap tonight. And that not only was he going to rap, that it was going to be great. That he wasn't going to do one of those tepid, you know, like slapdash.
When you bail on it, you say a word that you can't rhyme, and then you say the word again, and you're like, I rhymed that word with that word, and you bail on it.
You felt like tonight you're going to deliver actual, like, some rhymologies.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Yeah.
All right, you're holding the mic wrong. You don't have to hold the mic like that. All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Come on, man. Yo.
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 Dan Harmon. Yo. Best Yo. Rap ever.
Yo. Sky to the ground, to the ground, to the sky. I fucked your mama in each of her eyes. I made her blind so she had depth perception problems. Yo, reception is... fuck. Okay, obviously we know what I did wrong there. You want to stick to monosyllabic words that end with a vowel.
Freestyle.
Day.
Dan, don't be fettered by Peter or, you know.
Yeah. I fucked up. Yeah. 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 Portland. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Dan, I would say rap about your day. Like, rap about, like what's on your mind?
How do you know I wasn't going to?
Because you said yo for 16 measures.
Yow, 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 yeah. Okay, all right, okay. Yo, what? Portland.
No, just that's still just, that's, okay, sorry, that was my fault. All right.
I gotta wipe my head clean every time. Yeah, 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 yeah. Just feeling the beat. I'm in Portland, the land of trees and sky. Why ain't we in Seattle? Tell me why. Cause it's too far north and too fucked up. Yo, Portland is what's up. It's a beautiful place full of trees. Fuck your mama so hard that she fell to her knees. And she begged for more. She said, let's go camp and make your dick into a s'more. I said, I'm out of chocolate and crackers. You know, don't know what you're doing, but I got financial backers. Go to Kickstarter, try to get a new season. Gonna fuck your mama so hard. Don't got no reason. Whoa, fuck your mama and your dad. Fuck your mama so hard. She said, that wasn't bad, but you could do it better. Put your daddy in a Superman sweater, and he made him knit his own. It was a new form of emasculation. He was owned. Sat in a chair, knitted a sweater, like acted like he didn't care, but the truth is he was emasculated. Fucked your mama so hard. Just give me a second. Whew. Yeah. Fucked her good. It's all right. Thank you. Thank you for your support. Thank you. It's for a good cause. Thank you. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every rhyme goes to cancer.
Portland,
cancer
from the B to the O, to the R, to the T, L-A, don't know. I got to N to the D, fuck your mama on the side. Fuck your mama so hard that her pussy got wide. Drove a train from A to B through her. Fuck your mama like my name was Ben-Hur. Got in my chariot, whipping it next to me. Fucked your mama till she had a hysterectomy. No, oh, sorry about that. That was fucked up. Sorry. Sorry. Sometimes the science drops and you don't know. You become a cyclops. You got one eye and you're just looking at the beats. And sorry, turn your mama. That was fucked up. Surgical to clinical. Uncool. It's not cool. Sorry. All right, here we go. One last verse. Yo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Fuck your mama from the A to the B. Fuck your mama from the C to the D. Fuck your mama from the E to the Z. The alphabet rhymes, see? I fucked your mama all around. Fuck your mama with my vision. Fuck your mama with my sound. I said, fuck you. Oh, alright. Alright. Portland! Portland! Portland rap! That's your money's worth. The rest is gravy.
Let's bring out Aaron McGathy, shall we? Aaron McGathy.
Yo. Well, here, you can...
Fucked your mama so hard, she had a hysterectomy.
I know, it wasn't my idea. It was...
I think it's brilliant.
When you rap, poetry. God moves through you. If God's misogynist, it's not my problem.
You fucked someone so hard...
She got damaged. But she liked it.
No, she chose...
But no, she had it. You fucked her so hard that she was like, there's no way I'm not pregnant.
You fucked her so hard, she had elective surgery.
Right? Yeah. And she was smiling the whole way. She loved it.
I never want to get fucked that hard again.
Thanks for having me, guys.
No problem.
Great. All right.
So what was it? Just real quick, let's agree to not spend more than 9 minutes on this.
Well, real quick, I just wanted to clarify something. When we walked out of the strip club... There was a misunderstanding when you said that your penis retracted. What I said was, I thought they were really pretty. I didn't say, you didn't think they were any of them are pretty.
No, like, I'm sorry about that.
It's okay. I know it was a misunderstanding.
You're right. No, it's just a bit of a minefield for a guy because because you don't even know if your role as a feminist coming out of a strip club is supposed to be like, but I don't even have a boner. There was nothing sexual about that. And then you can follow that road. It doesn't lead all the way to Rome.
Yeah, we're all confused.
Up against objectification of women in a different way.
Well, and the reason
you'll
why
be going,
I asked,
like, oh, they were fucking ugly. And it's like, well, okay. So then you go like, oh no, they were hot. They made my dick hard. Okay, now they're. I don't know what the like what the bumper table like. Why are we doing this? What are we doing?
Jeff was the only person who knew why we were doing that.
He doesn't know.
I was taking that.
Meanwhile, we're sitting here with the shirts from the place. Jeff just takes us places and orders us to sit places.
You can't. You've been in Portland now several times in your life, but you've never been to Mary's Club. You have to have been there at least once because it's kind of it's special. It's weird.
It's an interesting place to be in. Yeah,
it was good. Jeff made us sit at the stage, which I was happy eventually that he made me do. But I was uncomfortable because I was going in because it was presented as a spectacle, and then I walked in and there's like this person who is doing this dance that was great, and I didn't want her to feel like I was making fun of her. Which is such a narcissistic way to watch. I mean, she's not like, oh, I wonder what their relationship is with nudity.
Yeah, they've crossed a threshold. They don't care. I mean, it's they're heroes, they're martyrs, they're victims.
I love when I had the dollars and I could give a dollar for like certain things that I liked. Like when she did the thing with her butt, like the, I was like, I really like that. And then
that's what I don't like sitting at the, I don't know what I'm rewarding, because I've never been turned on by any performance in a strip club, and I'm not saying that that's the goal, because otherwise it should be, if you wanted to, they should wear more sweaters. Like I would like to watch just like a lady just like in a sweater.
That's funny. Yeah,
like just like rolling around in a beanbag.
I would feel very jealous.
Like that would be pornographic to me. That would be like.
I would feel very jealous if we went into a strip club and there was a woman fully clothed,
yeah,
with tights and a sweater who, yeah, just sat there and said,
"It would be called
you've been bad."
Yeah.
I'd be like, "We have to get out of here. I can't."
The theme of the bar would be like teacher's assistants. Yeah. That would
be,
and it would just be like girls sitting at a
smart
desk, yeah, yeah, and going like, "What else did you want? What memo did you want to send out?" And I'd be like, "Tell Mr. Flamers that push that meeting." Okay, yes, sir. I would walk out of there with
a boner.
Frankly, a boner.
Yeah, yeah.
And it would be gross.
Frankly, a boner.
When the women are fully naked and they get the dragon tattoo on their back and they're like, they're spinning around the pole.
No, it's not sexy.
It's transcended sexuality, which is a good thing, I guess.
But you wanted to fuck those two gay guys at the bar later on.
Probably. But I want to tell you what happened while you guys were in there getting these sweatshirts. Just because this is another thing. What do you do about strip clubs? What do you do about sexuality? What do you do about panhandling? All right. In L.A., we have lots of panhandlers. San Francisco, we've talked about the panhandlers. I think the San Francisco panhandler population has been subjected to an undue amount of stress. Yeah. A panhandler in San Francisco, he's living in an area where it's like it's Eternia in the He-Man universe. Like, everyone has to be an action figure.
They had some of the worst, most draconian mayors.
There's
of all
no
time,
such thing as just a guy in an army jacket that needs a dollar. That guy's been fucking brushed off to... like down the coast. In San Francisco, if someone's panhandling you, he's got a fucking teacup on his head. He's got an armor made of a furnace door. Like he's got a gimmick. He's got a spell he's going to cast. He's got a magic trick to do.
I used to live in San Francisco, and there was a panhandler who, every time you walked by him, he would propose marriage in a very sincere way. And I always gave him money. I was always delighted by it. We had an agreement.
So here's what happened in Portland outside that strip club. Well, Erin went back in to buy her T-shirt with you. There's no moral to this story. I'm just sharing it. All right. There was a woman walking down the street. I would characterize her as, I'm pretty sure she, I think her poison was drink. I think that she... But I don't know. I'm not a social worker. I don't know. It's not my job to judge her or appraise her or know what she's into or whatever. But I felt like looking at her, I was like, yeah, she's like me in 20 years. Yeah. And she was like, hey, you have any money? And then Erin went in the thing. I said, I got this. I gave her a 20 because it's all I had. And I was just, well, I'm a tourist, too. And I this
and
is
you
what
literally I, said, I got this.
I did. I did say that. I said, I got this.
Because she approached and she said, dude, and held up her sign. Like, she was my old friend, and she was like, you owe me $5. And I was following Jeff into the car.
And I said, I got this. All right. Yes. That's what I did.
You got off easy. I bought you guys $90 worth of Mary's Club swag.
So I gave her a $20 bill, and she gave me a hug, and we held each other, and she said, I wrote it down after she walked away. She said, I don't normally hug people, but you did me a favor. And then she broke the hug, and as she walked into the housing complex next to the strip bar, she said, and you know what I'm talking about. She turned to me, and I was like, I don't know what you're talking about quite, but I feel like I may have killed you because I gave you $20 and you're taking it. So here's what happened next. Then 2 minutes later, because you guys were in the strip club buying a T-shirt.
Lou Reed walks in.
Another couple, walked by. It was like a homeless couple, the self-identified homeless couple.
This is why I'm back buying you guys hoodies and Mary's Club.
So then the woman had she had sores on her face, like kind of like it was more of a methy thing.
Yeah.
Not like an alcoholic thing, more of a speedy thing. And she said, and I wrote all this down because I wanted to talk about it tonight. She said, like, can I get some money? And I gave all my money to another person. I'm sorry. And she said, she said, we're crackheads.
we're homeless. And then as she walked away with her male friend, she said, be really choosy around here. And I, that's fucking interesting. Because the first lady just wanted booze.
Yeah.
She needs crack. I don't know. It was weird. It's like, what? When are you a good guy? When are you a bad guy? You don't just like what, like just panhandling in general. Like Spencer told me once. We should bring out Spencer in a second. Spencer Crittenden. He doesn't give to panhandlers. He told me once. What he does do?
He kills them.
I don't have the balls to do this. When he sees the guys in L.A., I don't know if this is like in every city, but in L.A., there's like we have a infrastructure that supports like guys rolling down the street with a shopping cart full of tin cans. Like they go from door to door. They're fucking working hard, way harder than any of us work, getting like very little shit to like give to a corporation that gives them a couple pennies for their tin cans. And Spencer said he doesn't give to panhandlers. When he sees those guys aren't even asking for money. Spencer pulls over, runs out, offers them money.
I love that.
I mean, that seems like, and Spencer was like, but it's almost Darwinian too. It's creepy. It's like yeah, so the other people should they die? like what are we saying? Are we, that he knows work ethic.
So like,
we'll give him money so that we can keep the.
I'm from LA. Like you see a guy laying in the street in LA, a homeless person, and they're laying in LA, like, oh, it's a nice climate. But you see somebody on the streets in Portland, like it's cold out. Like it's weird to be like homeless here.
In Milwaukee, every year, it's the second coldest city or the first coldest city, depending on who you ask. If you ask somebody in Minneapolis, they'll tell you. they die.
Yeah.
There's a homeless population and they die every winter. They die off like mosquitoes. I'm not making a joke. I'm saying like that's the horrible thing. So human beings, they die off.
You called homeless people mosquitoes.
Yeah. I'm saying that's the fucking horrible thing. They die off.
It's the horrible thing. Is
like it's a part of a biosphere.
When you see somebody that's homeless and someone's sleeping on the like I walked across the bridge from the southwest side to downtown. And it's just people like sleeping on the middle of the bridge on the thing, and you just walk by them. It's so weird. It's so
because you get other shit to do. That's the.
You don't. You don't have. Anything
I know
to
you
do.
Shouldn't have anything to do. You should like if you were playing a video game and you had like people walking everywhere, and there were some of them that were like laying down, you would dedicate all your energy until you had that. Moving up, that's the liberal perspective, is that a society should be judged by how you treat your lowest individuals.
I just think it's we live in a world where people think that life is a competition and that when you see
and
somebody,
that they're losing, they're yeah. losing. They're
and
losing.
So for me to identify with you means I would have to lower myself in that chess game. I hate it. It's the worst. Let's lighten things up and bring Spencer out. Spencer!
Homeless deaths. Every winter, it's a culling.
Homeless deaths. What do you think? What do you make of this situation with
which
panhandling, the homeless, the. What?
Well, yeah, it is Darwinian. You encourage the people who are working, and you let the others, you know, be cold.
That's what you're saying. You're saying.
How do you feel about like mental illness? And what do you?
I'm against it.
Wow.
Strong stance.
I'm sure some people make it work, but you know.
You're against it.
What if they? I mean, one day, you know, any day now, they're gonna come out with a pill.
Yeah.
And they're going to go, this cures blank and flamin'. And they're going to, it's going to be like, oh, that's great. Tim used to talk to the fire hydrant. Now he doesn't think that fire hydrants talk.
Blank and flamin' is schizophrenia.
That's fantastic. But then they're going to say, they're going to look at Spencer and Aaron and Jeff and me. And they're going to go, by the way, you wouldn't You wouldn't get hurt by taking this either. You don't talk to fire hydrants. However, you do cry when you're watching Tron. That's weird. Don't do that. You shouldn't cry when you're watching Tron. That's dumb.
What part of Tron makes you cry?
Oh, it's
Well, and crying is not a mental imbalance.
That's true.
The light cycle part.
Does it?
Yeah, I think.
What's sad about that part?
Just sometimes you get cut off, and sometimes you cut other people off. There's no way out of a light cycle race without.
I love the neutron. No, I don't. I'm kidding.
I love that. I love that.
No one has ever said that.
In the neutron, there's a guy. Even though you're in a computer, there's still a guy at the arena that goes, "Well, hello, welcome to the bleeding time." There's still a guy in the computer that's like the Tron arena guy. It's like, whoa, who wants some killing, folks? Wait, why is everything always... Why is there always an MC in a post-apocalypse? Why is there always a Richard Dawson and a running man? Who wants some violence? And then the audience is like, yeah, love violence.
And the Neutron, there's a scene like the Thunderdome where the guy like, yeah.
It's like, oh boy, I know why you came here. Wait, who are you talking to? They're all computer programs. Why are you doing this? Why do you have a computer program in your computer that's like whose job is to wear a weird hat and go like, oh boy, you're gonna love this one.
That guy was the karaoke host, right? Like that. He just transitioned. Yeah. Like there was a need for the Thunderdome host. He's just like the local host.
Yeah.
But the original Tron, there was just a guy that was like your drill instructor who said, like, if you lose your identity disk, you'll be subject to automatic deresolution.
Yeah. There's always a guy. Any world that has to be redefined, there's always a guy that is the voice of the sensational need for bloodlust.
You'd be that guy, Jeff.
Yeah.
You're good at hosting things.
Give me a noun. Someone say a noun.
Banjo.
Yeah. Banjo world. Jeff, what would the
if you lose your banjo strings, you'll be subject to automatic detuning.
See?
Yeah. Right. Well, that was more low res than I wanted.
Low res.
It's banjo world. What's the guy? The fucking banjo world.
In the world of banjos, there are four types of strings. The strings that adapt, the strings that don't adapt, the strings that snap, and the strings that
are lost.
Jeff. All right.
Okay, all right. Do you want me to throw one at you?
No.
Do you want me to give you one?
Okay, yeah.
So you're the fascist propagandist lord.
I'm the MC of the of the arena in a blank world.
Okay, there's a futuristic world modeled on Chuck E. Cheese restaurants.
Ooh. Hello, whiskers and ears. Welcome to the cheese.
All right, you're right. It's hard. You're right. It doesn't. Never mind. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
You won't hear me admit I was wrong a lot. I had to walk a mile in his moccasins.
We have Spencer here. Spencer, that's your gift.
I know. Chuck E. Cheese. This is a blessing from God, Dan. What the fuck?
Oh, do it. Fucking do it then.
Okay. You're the Chuck E. Cheese.
Now I'm
going to
ruin it for karma purposes.
Here we go. Everybody, you have to play the character of the bloodthirsty crowd though. Like it's just, this is.
Or be crushed by the ball pits. You only get 6 tokens, so use them wisely. You may choose to pool your tickets to get a worthwhile prize or spend it all on Tootsie Rolls.
There, that's good.
All right.
God damn it.
I hope you remember us when you're in charge.
What?
I said, I hope you remember us when you're in charge.
All right, so, I'm out. James Adomian's not here, right?
Fuck that guy.
Never showed up.
No.
That fucking cock. Would have been good, man. I would have done a rap, and then he would have been like, Spider's Delight. And then I went and kept rapping.
We can still do it. Because I like.
I already tried to rap.
I like your Vincent Price breakdowns more than anybody's.
But I have to rap, and then I have to also do the Vincent Price.
Yeah, but it provides a nice break from the rapping to get into that.
All right, just one taste, just to show
one
him.
Taste.
Just to show him how bad I am.
All right. Let me do.
Just a little lick. Just yo. Yeah. 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 Yo, high tempo, ceiling to the floor. Fucked your mama till she begged for more. Fucked your mama in her eye. Fucked your mama in her mouth. Fucked your mama to the west, north, east, and south. Fuck it. Fucked your mama in a lazy way. Improvising lyrics all day. Fucked your mama Monday to Tuesday. Oh, shit, that is stupid. Dumb. Hold on. Let me start.
That's a bad beat for Vincent Price.
It was pretty frenetic.
Yeah. Everyone said Vincent Price at once in the audience. That was great.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Then I promise, as soon as I'm done with this. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yo. Yeah. Yo. Smooth, creamy. Yo. Yeah. Chocolate
Smooth,
stream.
Smooth, creamy.
Yo. Willy Wonka in the house. Yo. Chocolate treats, chocolate candy land. Fucked your mama as hard as I fucking can. Fucked her hard, fucked her a little soft. Fucked your mama in an apartment. Fucked her in a loft. Somebody else joined in. I fucked your mama till I coined in. Dumb. Hold on, give me a second. Give me a second. Yo, 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 yo. Yo, freestyle rapping. The floor is under my feet. I fucked your mama so hard, she was like Amanda Peet. Just I think that's an actress. I fucked your mama on a Clive Barker mattress. And when the blood went down, it resurrected a zombie man and he came to town. I said, yo, it's time for a new franchise. Hellraiser. Ooh, French fries. Okay, yeah, thank you.
Someone went to Hellraiser and thought the needles were french fries and misunderstood.
All right, come. I just want to get to the Vincent Price Bridge. Okay, come on. All right, just gotta give these people their money's worth. All right, oh yeah. Yo, yeah, yo, 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 yeah. Freestyle rap, yo, Harmon rapping time. Yo, gonna rap right now. Fuck your mama and her. Yo, hold on.
Jesus Christ.
Just give me a second. Yo, 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 yo. Dancing Harmon in the scene. Fucked your mama so hard. Her name was Billie Jean. I was like Michael Jackson with the glowing sidewalk. I fucked your mama so hard. She fire Cyclops. I already said that. Said that before. Don't. Oh, you just started a new beat. God damn it. All right. Thanks, sweetie.
There you go.
Okay. All right.
There you go.
Okay. Yo, 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 yo. Freestyle rap. My name's Dan Harmon, rapping all day. I fucked your mama so hard, she ate curds and whey. She's like Little Miss Muppet, and the spider came down. Fuck your mama in her makeup, she looked like a clown. Fucked her in her eye, fucked her in her ear. Fucked your mama so hard, she couldn't hear. My dick went through her brain, and she went downtown on the train. She went to work and made a good wage. I fucked your mama so hard, she rosemary sage. She used those things when she was cooking. She's ding-a-ling.
Don't apologize.
No, I'm not apologizing. Sorry. Yo, I'm sorry. Yo, sorry. Yo. Fucked your mama in the kitchen in the bathroom. Fucked your mama in it's always the last room that you look in when you find your mama. She's trying to hide from me like a llama. Llamas are notorious for hiding from people. Fucked your mama in the church in the steeple. Fucked your mama in the belfry in the tower. Fucked your mama so hard she took a shower. And she rolled and cried, and she washed it off the things, and God damn it! We just gotta get to the Vincent Price Bridge. Yeah. All right, yo. Let's cool it down and take it to the streets. Fucked your mama in her armpits. Fucked her in her feet. I fucked your mama all day. I didn't want to do it anyway. But she begged me. She told me to do it. Fucked your mama so hard. Her name was Ray Pruitt. It's a friend of ours.
That's a weird shout out.
Yeah.
Hi,
trust
Ray.
Trust me, it's a good rhyme. Fucked your mama upstairs and I fucked her in the basement. Fucked your mama. Nothing.
Basement.
This is stupid. Give me a second. Hold on. Whoa. Yo, Portland. Yo. Trees, redwoods, and vines. I fucked your mama till she started to feel fine. Fucked your mama all across the nation. Fucked your mama so hard. She gave up masturbation. She always kept coming to me. She said, give me some more. You never gave me so much, you see. I said, okay, one more this time. But I'm gonna put it into my next rhyme. She said, don't mention me by name. I said, yo, you're just another mama. They're all the same. I'm just gonna say your mama. She's like, that's cool, even though my name is Talama. It's okay to make up a word like that. Fuck, god damn it. All right.
Vincent Price.
No. We got to start. Just go one more. Okay, one more. All right. Sorry. Say a word, sir.
Bridge.
Okay. Yo, bridges from ocean to ocean. Fuck your mama so hot because of my motion. A bridge doesn't ever doesn't go over an ocean. That would be the biggest bridge in the world. Okay, just give me a second. Sorry. Yeah. I fucked your mama in the middle of a bridge. I fucked your mama and her pussy had a ridge. I looked down and said, what is that? She said, oh, that's a little tiny man's hat. I said, don't talk down to me. She said, well, it's the clitoris. Like, do, look it up. And I did. And I learned how to love in a different kind of way from God above, and I unified with her. We were two people just hanging out. Fuck it. All right.
Vincent Price.
Spiders coming everywhere. Spider come going, crawling all over the place. Tears of zombie infants dug themselves out of holes. Third world countries feeling terrible about themselves. Vincent Price bringing the morbidity into popular music.
Dan Harmon, everybody.
All right. Well, I feel like, okay. I feel like we failed at that. And I, unless the rest of the show goes well, you can all have your money back. And you can talk to Squarespace about it.
I thought it was great.
I say we play a bit of D&D for these people before we go. Let's get the character sheets dispensed.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm sorry about that.
No, every young girl at some point thinks that her clitoris is a tiny hat.
For sure. Dan. All right. Now, Spencer, it's been a real long time since I have any idea what we're doing.
Yeah. But I mean, usually you guys don't have an excuse.
Well,
that one was a thinker, apparently.
All right, Spencer, catch us up to date if you can and if you will.
Spencer, what's the weirdest thing that's happened to you in Portland? Wait, let's cut the Dungeon Master music.
So, okay, when we got here, Aaron, you know, gave me a donut, one of those donuts. I like it. It was good. It was a jelly donut. I don't really like
Spencer,
jelly donuts.
Don't tell him about
donut. So I dropped my stuff off in the hotel. Then I got a register. I got my wristband and stuff. And then I went back to my room to take a dump. And... I was sitting on the toilet and I was glancing around as you do, and I saw a waste paper basket, and you know, hotel cleaners, they clean up things before the guests arrive and stuff. So large was my surprise when I saw there was apparently something in one of these waste paper baskets, and I was like, ugh, that's weird. And then,
I feel like the story would only be enhanced by this.
I mean, probably not, but whatever. Then, you were right. I take it all back. So I slowly tip the waste paper basket towards me to allow myself to see into its depths. And I see it looks like a tissue paper, and inside it's just all red. And I'm like, okay, I guess that happens. You know, it's natural.
That happens.
Put it somewhere. It's like I always say. And so, but I was really grossed out, and I was like, did they just not clean my room? What's going on? And then I looked at it further, and I was like, oh, that's just the jelly donut I threw away.
Portland is amazing. Portland, you, what a roller coaster ride.
Menstruation on the mind.
We thought we found the one bad thing about Portland. But it's really just a place you can come to confront your own love of donuts.
Spencer has his eyes out for dirty tampons.
Well, it's everything's so pristine, you know? If you see something in a waste paper basket and you don't remember throwing it in there, it's really terrifying.
I gotta say, whoever is in charge of cleaning our hotel room here at the Bridgeport Comedy Festival at the Jupiter Hotel, I'm so sorry for my fiancé, Erin.
What happened?
I don't know. She's like, it's like the trail she leaves is Belushian. Like, you admit that, right? Like, you, like there's crumbs everywhere, and like it looks.
I just like to see everything I have at once.
When Erin goes into a hotel room, she opens the suitcase and just like it's like spores, like it's just like everything from inside her suitcase explodes to every edge of the room.
I definitely have like a weird thing with hotels where I'm like, I can do anything.
Do you hate the people that clean
No,
up?
No, I don't. And I used to work as a maid, but I always
what?
Liked it with... Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. For like 2 years during college, I worked as a maid. Made in America was the name of the company.
No.
Get it?
Yeah. No. I love you. Yeah, and I did some...
This guy.
I did some weird shit. But I clean people.
She did some weird.
But I don't, you know, just like clutter, I feel isn't a big deal. Like I think the gross thing, like if I was leaving nail clippings or like hair, like that's hard to.
What about just Chex Mix everywhere? Just
well,
a bag of Chex Mix, just systematically
was,
like laid out all over the
last
floor.
Last night I was very drunk and I thought I was a hero for taking a bag of Chex Mix and trying to
it.
Eat it. I literally poured it. I got back. I was the last one at the after party last night. Literally the last one. And I got back to the room and I was like, oh no. Like, tomorrow is going to be a disaster. And so I got in bed and I got my iPad and I started playing this movie that I started watching on the plane. And I took the Chex Mix and I just put it on my bare chest. And I don't even think use my hands. It was just like.
This is.
We're again.
All right, Spencer.
That's a woman I can love.
Spencer, let's play some D&D.
I just want to hear it.
I don't pretend to be Audrey Hepburn.
All right.
No.
What do you got? Hey, what do you think about Portland?
It's
a great city.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of bridges. Okay, whatever.
Really easy.
What about the spit?
To cross
it's
water.
It's funny for me to keep interrupting?
Bodies of water.
Is it?
There's lots
funny.
Of bridges. Last time on Heart Comedy! Town, our heroes had teamed up with Meredith the Minotaur to escape the underworld, and soon came upon Bill Mardigan's The City That's Everywhere. With the help of Wizbulb and his bucket, our heroes met with Spizwad the Cursebreaker, who demanded cigarettes in exchange for magical healing. So it was off to the Cigarette Museum. Despite Sharpie's initial resistance, he quickly rose to the challenge, teleporting inside the closed museum. But as soon as he was inside, he encountered a massive bust of Butts, a giant head made of cigarettes, Bill Mardigan himself. The smoking cigarette deity was upset about the trespass, but Sharpie seemed to calm him down through level-headed discussion. As Quark and Christaberg arrived, the gang was worried. They soon found themselves enjoying both the smoke of Bill Mardigan's and the magical restorative effects it had, lifting their skull curses. But with their curses lifted, our heroes still sought the magical Terragon to exorcise Christaberg. But how would they get it? Inside of a bag? I don't know. Probably not there. Find out.
All right. That's where we were.
Do you guys, right. Do you have any questions? Do you remember? Like, there's a giant head made of cigarettes. That's memorable, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. I was very distracted by the lighting.
Yeah, I'm dynamically lit. I'm iridescent.
I examine the cigarette head.
He's still chilling out. He's kind of eyeing you. Smoke issues from his mouth, and he's like, "What up?"
Do you know where the Terragon of Virtue is?
Ugh, that's up in paradise somewhere, right?
Do you know how to get there?
No.
Shit.
What are you looking for?
The Terragon of Virtue.
That's weird.
Well, we were trying to get cigarettes. That's why we... I apologize. We came in here to get cigarettes because there were these other guys that I can't remember. It was like 6 months ago.
That's okay.
Were you born this way?
That's a great question. No, I was not. I built this city with my own two hands, and I oversaw it with the best of my ability. But soon I realized it was not enough. That drive that powered me to empower this city granted me this form and immortality with which I could maintain and upkeep the workings of Bill Mardigan's.
Are you into... What are you into?
I like smoking and riddles.
You like hot tubs?
No, that really puts me out.
That's a well-deserved pun.
Why did he want cigarettes again?
The other guy, it's like a...
Who wanted cigarettes?
DM's note. You guys were trying to get the skull curses lifted, but in meeting with Bill Mardigan, he actually cured you of your skull curses.
Oh, right, okay. All right, so we're fine.
We're good to go.
We can actually, from this point, we can do whatever we want.
Yeah, I mean, we do want the Terragon of Virtue to get Krista Berg's curse lifted, I think, right?
Sure. Hey, Smokey.
Bill Mardigan.
Bill Mardigan.
The name of the city.
Have you ever wanted to travel the world with adventurers?
No, I kind of just want to, you know, be God over my city.
Well,
I know you love riddles.
Yes.
If you answer this riddle correctly, we'll let you show us to the Terragon of Virtue.
I like those odds.
It's gonna work. Jeez. All right, what is
five.
Small and red and blue but never sleeps?
Red but blue?
And blue.
Oh, red.
Red.
And
what
blue.
Is small, red, and blue and never sleeps?
Well, it can't be. Maybe
a purple vampire.
Bill Mardigan's rumblings are suddenly interrupted by a sharp, high-pitched a siren. It sounds like wee woo, wee woo, wee woo.
Oh my God! The most adorable emergency is happening.
You see the flashing of blue and red lights, which is coincidental.
Bill Mardigan, are there people coming?
Oh shit! That's the fuzz. You better get out of here.
Bubby, you own this place.
Yep, but they don't know I exist. He winks.
Whoa! Oh,
guys, let's jump back in the bucket and get out of here.
Portable hole.
Portal bucket. Portable. Right. Portable.
Bill Mardigan goes.
Oh shit!
And all the cigarettes that composes his form are sucked, you know, to their butts or whatever.
Sucked
and
to their
he
butts.
Falls. He falls to the ground in a pile of ash, and you hear his voice. Good luck.
I put the ash in a little bag, and I put it in my pocket.
You obtained Bill Mardigan's ashes.
Don't worry, guys. I got it.
I have a portable. If you get into a portable hole, if you climb into one,
no.
Can you just fold it up from inside and just hang out?
I don't think so. Someone on the outside could do that, though.
But we could jump back through the portal, right?
Yeah, you have a bucket with you, Jeff, that goes to this gnome bathroom.
All right, fine. Right.
Let's all go to the weird bathroom. I jump into the bucket of bathrooms.
You do that. What about you guys?
I also jump in.
Through the bucket of bathroom.
You find yourself in a nice bathroom. There's something you've never seen before. It's a weird chamber pot made of porcelain. It's got a little handle on it.
I open it and look into the contents.
There's but water in a hole.
I put my hand in the hole.
It fits your fist just exactly as if it was made for it.
I go like, this is a good chamber pot.
I go to the door of this room and open it up.
You open it up and you see it's covered in clutter. It's all just paper. There's nothing useful.
Can
There's
I ask tons you? Of paper. I'm sorry.
Tons of paper.
Can I ask you a sidebar question about my character?
Yeah, sure.
Do I have to poop?
That's really up to you, man.
Is it?
I mean,
are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Okay, I have to poop.
You have
to
poop.
It's up to me. Yes. It's up to me. I tell these guys, like, it's up to me when I have to poop. I want you to know that about me.
You should try and see if you can...
There may be situations where that comes to our advantage. This probably isn't one, but I want you to know. Like, I am different from every being on Middle Earth. It's up to me when I have to poop. I'm like a dolphin. Like, a dolphin's heartbeat is voluntary.
What? Is that right?
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Dolphins... They get to
remember to keep their heart beating.
What?
They can forget and die.
No.
Yeah. If there's a dolphin in the audience, let him prove me
wrong. I saw a literal dolphin today.
A literal dolphin?
On the fucking river. It came... It was going...
No.
Fuck you guys. What was it then? What was it, huh?
Sea lion.
Whatever. That's just as magnificent.
What?
Whatever.
You thought it might have been a dolphin?
It's a fucking gray, dark, shiny object coming in and out of the water for air every couple of minutes.
The most incredible thing is that the audience was like, no!
Well, also, no, his defiance is weird. Like, why would he... Like, it's a gray, dark shape coming out of... It could have been your friend from college.
No, it couldn't have. It had a very distinguished fin.
Did you go to college at SeaWorld?
Sea lions don't have dorsal fins.
Well, I guess it might have been a dolphin then.
No!
Oh, shit!
Everyone is way more upset about this than I am.
Well, it's weird to assume you saw a dolphin just because you saw a gray thing.
Is there a possibility? No, this is fresh water, right?
Not likely.
A dolphin
no.
can't just be cruising down.
There's river dolphins, but I think those
river
are in Africa.
There's no, I think we
those
they're
exist.
Not, they're
those
not river
definitively
dolphins.
Exist.
There's, in okay. Africa?
There's no, I think in Africa. There are no river dolphins.
Those are porpoises.
South
right?
America, someone's saying.
No. Yeah.
Where the river's so big, it's like an ocean.
I think we solved this in the first 10 seconds. It was a sea lion.
Yeah, and I don't care.
Sea lion.
It was gorgeous.
But with a fin. With a dorsal fin.
Apparently. That's what I saw.
All right.
Have you ever touched a dolphin?
No.
Sorry?
No.
Sharpie. Just so I know, you said that there would be certain situations when you having to poop would be advantageous for our
Well,
crew.
Later, I don't know.
Could you just list some of them so I'm ready?
No, I sit down, Spencer, and I poop. Because you said it's up to me.
Yeah.
I poop.
That happens.
Now you can ask your questions while
not,
I'm pooping.
It's not a big
You
got to
make eye contact with me. You guys, I want you to lock eyes with me. I'll tell you anything you want to hear. But now you need to know that I'm pooping while you talk to me. I'm pooping.
All right. Are you okay?
Yeah. Yeah. How are you?
Good. Sharpie, what do you want to achieve in this lifetime?
I'd like to touch other people.
Like, I want them to know that I was here. Mm.
What do you want them to remember of you?
Honestly, I don't need them to think that I was good or bad. I want them to. I just want to be remembered. I want to be specific. I want to be irreplaceable. I want to be singular. Clap. I assume. I mean, it's either up to you or to me. I don't know. When it falls.
Sure.
If you were to die today, what do you think people would remember you most for, Sharpie?
Oh God, I don't even. I feel like they would. I don't. I feel like too few people would have known that I was around. That's what terrifies me.
Maybe that Skeleton Army show on the bridge. That was.
Yeah, but I don't think those guys know my name. I don't think they know. I hold on a second. I would just like to. I feel like none of us get to live forever. Mm-hmm. That's not the goal. That's not a real life.
Don't take this personally, but I'm just going to back away 5 feet or so.
Does it stink? You guys, are you guys all in here?
You haven't pooped in 9 months, so
yeah.
It's a lot. It's a lot of traces of
our adventures.
I walk out of the doorway to the restroom.
Okay. You walk into this.
I keep pooping.
Area.
I keep watching.
Those things happen. All three of them. And as you walk into this room, you see a pile of papery bits start to move and shift. And you see a hand emerge. And then a face. It's another gnome, believe it or not. I'm Flizzdam. What you doing in here?
Also, what you talking about, Willis?
What?
All right, sorry.
Flizzdam, my name is Quark. My friend is rolling a deuce in the other room.
I'm watching!
This is all very upsetting.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call it rolling.
Am I supposed to say something?
No.
Flizzdam, we seek the Tarragon of Virtue.
Jesus Christ! That's a person in this world. That grows on the Isle of Paradise. Why am I having this conversation? Who are you guys?
We're just some guys who fell into a bucket of a portal.
Oh, yeah.
Look, Flizzdam, I gotta be honest with you. We're pretty drunk.
I mean, that's normal.
We don't know which end is up right. Are my friends taking a shit?
I'm watching!
Yeah, are other friends watching it? I just had to take a breather and get out of there.
Yeah.
I feel like we should fight or something.
Fight?
What?
This is not normal.
Hey.
You haven't adequately explained yourselves.
What? No. Whoa.
I leave Sharpie. And walk into the room with the paper and the gnome, Flizzdam.
I guess I knew you were behind there in theory.
Hey, listen. Hey, buddy. I'm taking a shit.
Yeah, I can smell it.
We have... Weird, gross. We have no quarrel with you.
You look like a nice gnome. And do you know where the Isle of Paradise is?
Yeah.
What are you afraid of?
This is a very weird circumstance. Do you even own a home?
Are you a realtor? Yeah. What did we interrupt in this paper room?
This is my house.
Oh, why is your house next to a bathroom?
Why is this so hard to fathom that I'm a bit weirded out by three people shitting in my bathroom? None of you are gnomes.
One of you
is a gnome. That's not true.
All of your home invasion nightmares, and then add to it the idea that the people home invading don't acknowledge that they're doing anything wrong.
And yet
It would be scarier.
And yet you speak of the Isle of Paradise and the Tarragon of Virtue.
Flizzdam, I'm so sorry. We had a transporter bucket, and that's why we're here. and you seem so nice that I understand why you would be scared. Will you accept this? And I produce from my bag a God's Eye made out of yarn.
I will.
As this is a token of our friendship. We'd like to be your friend. You seem very nice and nervous. And
thank you. I thought about it, and I guess Wizbulb just leaves his bucket anywhere. So.
He sure does.
He sure does. That could happen.
You're out of... I'm not sure you're out of it, because I don't know if you use it, but...
Wait,
I'm
what?
Done pooping. And there's nothing in here but me and my poop.
Fliz, will you come with us on an adventure to the Isle of Paradise?
I might be able to help, as I am part of a sacred order of the Seekers of Paradise.
All right, no need to brag, but please...
It's my life's work. I think it's something to brag about.
You know, you're right. Show us. can we grab some supplies from your kitchen?
Sure.
I'm just gonna use the best. Well,
can anybody, if you anything fabric or cloth. Anything?
I
have some thread in my bag. I take out some
thread.
Yeah, it's not going to be pretty, but it will work.
It won't work.
You just got to wrap it around your head around your hand so many times. Okay. So you create like a.
Speaking of wrap it around, I think that because we're getting close to our closing time, I think that the Sharpie might have to wrap the whole message up for us right now.
What kind of weird?
Sharpie rap.
And James and Jovian is still not here?
Sharpie, you haven't shit in 9 months. You must feel great.
No. Yo. 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 Really? That's how we're ending the show?
Yeah.
Okay. Yo. 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 Well, let's get a piece of Portland.
What?
All right. What's your name, young lady?
Kimberly.
Kimberly. Kimberly. What's your name?
Devin.
Devin. I don't know what to do with that information. All right.
Tell a story, Dan. Dan, you've got no show anymore. You have to create something new for us now.
Okay. All right. New. All right.
What would Sharpie do in Portland?
Yo. Portland, land of the trees. I already rhymed with knees. Yo. Okay, all right. Yo. Portland, land of the Northwest. I fucked your mama because I wanted to prove I was the best. I won the competition, fucked your mama, and she gave me tuition. I went to University of Portland, and their football team is called the coffee people. Yeah. Packed crowd at the Portland basement. Fucked your mama so hard, I made a federal case of it. She said, okay. Case closed. Fucked your mama. The acoustics are weird out here. Let's sing to him. Let's not rap. Yeah. Thank you guys so much. You waited in line. How much did you pay? What were the tickets? How much?
25.
25? Okay. $25. Financial collars. Wrapped around Harmontown, where pee is yellow and poop is brown. Portland friends have a means to an end. You eat yogurt and then you do yoga in Portland in Harmontown. I fucked your mama so hard in your front and backyard in Harmontown. where pee is yellow and poop is brown. And Portland is the place to go. And I fucked your mama so hard I went below to the basement, fucked your dad, and I didn't let him up in time. Because I had no rhyme, but your dad was into it, and I fucked him in the eye and in his armpit, and he found it therapeutic and got more work done. Because he's... Because your dad loves getting fucked. And he said, what's up? And I fucked everyone that gave birth to you. Sorry, don't lose your enthusiasm. Oh my God, Portland is the best, and I fucked your mama so hot. She's got a treasure chest, and I put her titties around my penis and came. I came in the Northwest. Oh, I love Portland is the city. I fucked your mama so hot, I won't say titty. I fucked your mama so hard that my fucking was shitty, because I choked. I didn't, couldn't fuck your mama good enough. Because your mama's from Portland. And she deserves better than me. And, oh, your mama's better than me. Don't ever think that your mama deserves to be fucked by anybody. Except your dad. I don't know what my message is. I just know you're a good city, but if I just say that, it'll feel like pandering.
Thank you, everybody, for coming to Harmontown. We love you. Aaron McGathy, Spencer Crittenden.
If that's misogynistic, your mama's totally capable.
The show's over.
She's more capable than anybody who
you're all allowed to leave anytime
your mama's
want.
Your mama has the right to identify as either gender, you know, both or either. Your fucking mom is a
community
cosmic
was canceled,
being.
You guys.
Your fucking mom is like a bigger thing.
No
your
more
mom is,
no more community.
But it doesn't matter at Harmontown. My show got canceled last night, but we could still win the fight because I'll just do another show and it'll be all right. Harmontown. I love Portland's trees. I love the sky and the little honeybees. I love your yogurt and your kites and your ocean. Whoa, everything's made of wood.
Everybody, run for your lives.
Everyone in Portland is good.
Get out of here.
Except for the two aggressively gay guys that picked a fight with me and Jeff at Life of Riley on 10th and Newcastle. Whoa. What's your name?
Lauren.
Lauren! I fucked Lauren's mom! Yeah! What's your name?
Ron.
What was it?
Ron.
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 Fuck Ron. It's a dumb name. What's your name?
Sean.
Sean. Yo! I fucked Sean's mom! I fucked Sean's mom on the front lawn! I fucked her all day long at Harmontown! I'm too drunk to end the show. Yo.
The show is over. It's already over.
No, it's not.
The show is over.
Fuck you. Fuck you.
No, fuck
you. Fuck you. The show never ends. The show never fucking ends. The show never fucking ends. I'm fucking angry. I'm fucking angry.
Show's
the
over.
Show never ends.
Security.
Yo. Everyone all day long. Drunken improviser. Brian Wilson on your mama's butt law. Yeah.
Hey, Brian
no,
Wilson.
Fuck you. The show never ends. It never ends. What's your name?
Devin.
Devin. Fucking fuck him. What's your name?
Chris.
How do you know when you're finished?
Sure.
This guy. Yeah. Okay, great. Good job.
Good night, everybody. We'll see you at the bar.
All right, we'll see you at the bar. We did it.
Portland, we love you so much. You guys are the coolest in the world. Thank everybody here at the Doug Fir. Mick, when I turn down, play some music for us, would you?
Oh.